minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Allo Communications Studios, I am Brady Hull. We got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. I have made a mistake, Angel. I thought we were having our Christmas party tonight. We went ahead and postponed it, but I wore my ugly sweater. I wear my ugly sweater every Christmas party we have, and I don't like to wear it. It's uncomfortable. They're the most uncomfortable things ever, but here I am. I'm stuck in an ugly Christmas sweater, and we're not having our party tonight. That's a bummer.
It is.
Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater? Do you do that? Do you get into it?
I don't. I wish I could, because I go out and I see so many, and I think, oh, man, I could think of something funny for this movie or show that's kind of cool, but I just haven't got around to getting one.
I got this one. I think I got this one, like, through the Nuggets team store. They were, it's a Nuggets one. What do you think?
I like it. I like the old school, the baby blue colors.
Yep, love that. I love it. It's good. It's fun. But it's very itchy. Very, very itchy. And so we're going to get through this three-hour show today. My last show, I'll be out. We'll be out tomorrow. And then I'm off next week. So let's have some fun today. So I'm doing this on Twitter. Best Christmas movie. I don't do a lot of those kind of poll questions and stuff, but I'm doing that today. And here's what I'm going to do, Angel. I'm going to go on a scale from 1 to 10, you and I. We'll do this together. All of your comments, your texts, whatever, we'll rate them based on our thoughts here. And a scale from 1 to 10. 10 being the greatest movie of all time. And Jay already tweeting in Die Hard. That's a 0.
Nope.
It's a good movie, but it's not a Christmas movie. I think we've determined that. We went through this a couple weeks ago, and we have determined that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It has to have the spirit of Christmas in it. Right? It
can't. What is the spirit of Christmas, Brady?
It's got it. Well, okay. It can be about shopping for a toy, like Arnold Schwarzenegger was in. It can be about Santa Claus. It can be like a Christian theme thing if you want. It's got to have somehow the spirit of Christmas in it. It can't be a movie about something, but it just happens to be during the holiday season. That's not a Christmas movie. Nightmare Before Christmas. That you can go both ways on. I'm gonna say that's a Christmas movie because it has somewhat of the spirit of Christmas in it. It's about what's his face? Jack Skellington. I was gonna say Jack Pumpkin. He is trying. He wants to take over Christmas. He wants to be like the Grinch, kind of in a different way. He wants to be Santa Claus. That is certainly the spirit of Christmas. So, no, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. So, Jay, you're already at 0. You said Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
And that's right up there. So, I will say, like, as far as ratings go on Christmas movies, that's a 10. That is a 10. We got a couple of elves already. You didn't get into it. You didn't grow up with it or whatever.
I mean, I grew up with it. It's just not a movie that my family put on every year. I didn't watch it enough, and I've watched it more in the last couple of years. It's not on my top five.
I'm going to give that. Like, to me, there's only a couple of scenes that actually made me laugh. I'm going to go like a 5. On that. My wife loves that movie. And that's the only reason I enjoy it, because she cracks up the whole time. The only part that's actually funny is when he gets hit by the car. Like, that is it. I don't really care. It's not that good. So I'm going to give that a 5. We got a Die Hard so far. Okay, you guys text me on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, and then we'll go through. We'll have some fun with that. Christmas Story is... I would say A Christmas Story is probably my number one. But I've seen it more than any other movie. But it has the watchability, man. That's why TBS puts it on all day. Because there's not a bad scene in the movie. It's one of those movies that I just can watch all the time. I can watch in the middle of it, at the end of it, whatever. Every scene is good.
Well, because you can just jump into it and every scene is just so memorable, whether it's, you know, the flagpole scene, or it's, you know, when he gets his essay back about the paper. The turkey that the dogs eat, or the leg lamp, like the most iconic thing ever. There's just so many scenes you just pick up on, and you're just like, oh, man, this is good.
And it doesn't matter what era it was set in or what time it was set in. We all kind of connect with that. The bank the robber scene where he's picturing, you know, dudes robbing his house. And we all thought that when we were little, like, I could take him. And then he's like a cowboy with his gun, and he can take them all out, and he's the hero. I mean, we've all had those little fantasies, right?
Yeah, I think love the part when he comes back, like, he has a flash forward and he's blind.
Yes.
And he's like, what happened, Ralphie? He's like, soap poison.
Oh, it's so good. That's a great cast, too. My goodness. So I'm going to give that's a 10 out of 10. I would say Christmas Vacation is a 10. Home Alone is a 10. The Santa Claus, we talked about that one yesterday. That's a 10 for me. The sequels are in the fives. But, yeah, that's a 10. I'm just thinking of, like, the ones that are really, really good. Texter from the 970, It's a Wonderful Life.
I haven't seen that.
I have, and I didn't, my family, we didn't grow up watching it. I didn't watch it as a kid. I watched it with my wife, you know, maybe for the first time 5, 6, 7 years ago. Story, it's definitely a great classic movie. I'm gonna go six. It's not one that I care to really watch all the time. In fact, I'm good not watching it. But for me, that's a 6. Where are you going with these? Where are you going with Elf? What's your scale? Where are you putting it?
I'm gonna give Elf a 4.
4. Okay. Where are you going with? Okay, so you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life. Die Hard. What do you say to that?
I enjoyed it. I watched it for the first time last year. I liked it, but it didn't give me the Christmas feel, so it goes 0.
0. If it's not a Christmas movie, it doesn't count. Home Alone.
Again, watched that for the first time, like, fully last year. I watched both of them. I enjoyed it, but I'll give it probably a 6.
Oh, I wonder if you would have watched it as a kid, if it would have changed for you.
Probably.
Because,
like, by then, I had already, like, you know the whole story, you know, all the hijinks and stuff. I didn't know about, like, the first half of the movie when he's, like, just doing whatever with
just
his family.
Just living. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That movie, like, Home Alone has a lot of good ones, too. Every time I watch it, though, it makes me want to eat pizza because they order all that pizza at the beginning of the movie. And just, I'm starving watching that movie. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let us know what your favorite. Wait, I didn't do a sports poll question today. I just want to do something fun like this. Favorite Christmas movie of all time. Go ahead. I put it out on Twitter, too. You can text us, 888-530-0043. All right, sad news first. I'm not putting this in any kind of lunch rush or Good, Bad, the Ugly or anything like that. But Broncos running back Ronnie Hillman did die, passed away last night, 31 years old. Oh, it's just, this is a sad one. It's really sad, man. He had a bout with cancer. He was in hospice for 2 days, or like, what, a day and a half. It's a tough one, too. I mean, we follow these teams. We talk about these teams and these players all the time. And, you know, every single day you're talking about them. And Ronnie Hillman was a part of that great run with Peyton Manning, with the Broncos. And, man, I just, that's a tough one. So certainly thinking about his family today, and it's really tough because, you know what, you're 3 days away from Christmas, too. It's never fun to talk about this, certainly when you have holidays coming up, too. So certainly thinking about his family. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com. How about Tad Boyle? That's my good. Tad Boyle gets the dub. They beat Southern Utah last night, and he is now the winningest coach in CU Buffs men's basketball history. 262. Tad, Greeley Central, UNC, Jayhawks. I mean, Tad's one of the good ones, man. He really is. And Buffs fans, I hope you really appreciate what you have in Tad Boyle. Because every single year, that guy puts you in a position to at least think about the big dance. Every single year. So congratulations to Tad Boyle and the Colorado Buffaloes. Big day for them. Big day. Deion Sanders, prime time. We'll get into that, too, but they got themselves a stud. Came over from, well, Deion's old stomping grounds. He just came, followed him right over here with Travis Hunter. So I'd say on paper, it looked like the Buffs did pretty well yesterday with signing day. The bad for me, this is a Pro Bowl, I guess. It's probably bad for you, too, Angel, not seeing your boy up there.
It's good and bad. Got three Dolphins on there. Most likely have a couple more as alternates.
Yeah.
I have an issue with the fan vote that the NFL did for this. If it's not going to matter who wins the fan vote, why do it? Unless it's just a popularity contest.
Who got in the AFC over Tua that you are? Is it Burrow?
It's Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow.
Okay.
And I get it. Those are the three top guys. I'm not saying Tua is number one or anything like that. But if you win the fan vote, you should get something for it.
I don't even know what the fan vote counts for. It's a third of it? Okay. Well,
likely one of those top three will be in the Super Bowl. So Tua will probably be an alternate at that point. So
hey, get
we'll
that.
He'll get there.
Broncos only get one, Patrick Surtain, and probably, I mean, that's maybe Justin Simmons could have made a case for it, but I don't. It is what it is. They're a bad football team. You're not going to get a lot of Pro Bowlers when you're a bad football team.
So I looked this up because I was interested because I know the MLB does it. Every team gets a representative. So the Jags and the Bears are the only two teams without it.
Really?
If the NFL did it where every team would get it, Patrick might be the only guy from the Broncos.
Yeah. And I like that. I don't want it to be like, I don't like the baseball does that. That everybody gets a rep. You're an all-star. You're a Pro Bowler. You're the best of the best. I don't like the alternate thing or any of that stuff. Now that they're just doing flag football, they shouldn't have alternates. It's just you are a Pro Bowler. If you can't go, you don't go, and that's it. The ugly, real quickly, is Colorado State in the second half. They lose to USC 73-64. I mean, it wasn't awful in the second half necessarily, but you know, they were right there. They had a chance to win this game. They looked really good in the first half, but USC pulled away in the end. And look at that. The Rams, this stat line looks like the Bears the other night. 5 of 27 from the three-point line. You're just not going to win a lot of games when you're firing up that many three-pointers and not connecting. And so Colorado State ends their non-conference schedule at 8-5. Nothing to sneeze at, but they don't have a chance of an at-large bid now because we go on to Mountain West play, and there's no, I mean, there's not going to be any huge, San Diego State, a couple of teams, you know, that you, if you beat, that's good on your resume, but it's, you're going to have to win the Mountain West Conference tournament. So, yeah, that's a tough one. 18 minutes after the hour, what is your favorite Christmas movie? We're talking about that today, and I'll give you my ratings on all of them. Muppets Christmas Carol. My wife's into that one, too.
That one's good. With, what's his name?
The guy that played Alfred.
Yeah. Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. He's a good actor. For me, I didn't grow up with that. I didn't watch it growing up. So, whatever. I'm gonna stick it right around the 4 or 5 category. It's not great for me.
I've seen better versions of the Christmas Carol story done before. But that one is just, it's good because it's got all the characters in it.
Yeah.
You feel for Kermit and, you know, the little family and Tiny Tim, of course. And just, it's a fun movie, and some of the characters in it make it a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, you know, maybe I should give it a 5.5. Let me give it a 5. Let me give it a 6. I'll go 6 on that. That's fine. There's so many versions of A Christmas Carol, though, man. Like, the Jim Carrey one's the best for me. The animated one.
I've watched that a couple times. That one's good.
That one's really good. Don't like this. One of the spirits visits him and it's like a candle or whatever. That was weird. That's the weird part, but the rest of it, really good. 20 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I got Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he'll talk to us about Colorado State basketball last night and you know, what we think of them. And then signing day for the Rams. How did they fare overall? We'll talk to Kevin soon. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
25 minutes after 11 o'clock. Hope you are ready to have a wonderful Christmas. Get some time with the family or whatever it is you do. Big Christmas weekend and then the following weekend, New Year's. So it's always a weird week, man. I think people are like on the edge, you know, they're just ready to go, ready to be done for a little bit, ready to get a little break. And I am too. I'm off next week, so I'm excited about that. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Well, Deion Sanders, it's not a big shock. Got a former five-star recruit in Travis Hunter. He entered the transfer portal on Sunday. He made the, and then you hear that he is going to follow Deion Sanders from Jackson State. He said, I committed to Coach Prime at Jackson State when he was there, and I want to honor my commitment and stay with him. Hunter said in an announcement on his YouTube channel. I've got to stay with my dog. But did you see what he posted before that, before he made his announcement?
Something about he had to have a certain number of subscribers.
Yeah, and then he'd make his decision.
These kids, man.
Oh, my goodness. That's the Deion Sanders. But again, those of you, the curmudgeons, that are like, well, Deion's all about himself. He has Prime on his shirt, and I don't like that. It's all about him. That's what these kids are after. They're about Twitter and subscriptions, followers, swag, you know, style, all of that. And that's what Deion Sanders brings. So if this was the NFL, if this was high school, whatever, we could have those debates. But you are selling your program on a daily basis to sponsors, to, well, donors, to the community, to your school. You're selling yourself to your school and to recruits. You are constantly doing it. Dude, it does, this day and age, it doesn't matter if you're, I mean, yes, it matters. You got to be X's and O's. You got to know football. But you have to have something that attracts people here. That's it. You know, I mean, you look at the Steve Adazios of the world. That stuff's not going to work at bigger schools anymore. You know, like UNC, Ed Lamb. Ed Lamb's like the opposite of Deion Sanders. He's like, there's not a lot of style points there. Good dude. Seems like he can connect. But that probably makes sense for the University of Northern Colorado. If Ed Lamb was in the Pac-12 right now as a head coach, and you have Deion Sanders to compete against, he's probably going to lose that battle. This is where we are as a society in the Power Five when it comes to college sports.
I know it's the off season, and we're all excited, and every recruit and everything, the new hire, all of that, it's just fun, exciting stuff. Do you think, like, is it too much fluff right now because we don't really know a lot about Deion's football philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he coached at Jackson State and obviously was good is great. It's not like Ed McCaffrey. This is much different. But still, that was FCS, right? So how does that translate to this level? That's my big red flag in the back of my head is this is either going to be amazing or maybe bad, really bad. I don't know if there's going to be middle ground. Right now, the marketing stuff that he's doing is great. If it fails, we're going to go back and go, oh, that didn't work. That was awful. Now, all these Prime t-shirts and all that stuff they're doing to raise money, it's going to be kind of embarrassing at the end of this thing if it doesn't work out.
Well, if they don't have the success on the field, do these recruits believe in it? It's not just, I'm going to see you to play for Coach Prime. A year from now, is it, I'm going to play for CU because they're good, or I'm just going to be because Prime's there?
That's the thing. That's what happens when you do get a... We've never seen anything like it, so it's all uncharted territory for all of us. But the loyalty from these kids is going to be for Deion Sanders. So if he only coaches two seasons, if he does get this thing right, and he's out the door, well, then so are all these guys that are gonna play college football for the next few years. If Deion's gone, then there a lot of these guys will be gone. I don't think they're gonna fall in love with Boulder. I mean, the mountains are cool. It's pretty out there and stuff. Deion did an awesome video where he's actually at the stadium last night when the snow's coming down. You can see the mountains in the background. It was beautiful. But I don't think these guys are – they're not coming here at all because of the Buffs, because of Boulder or anything like that. So this is a pretty big gamble for Colorado, don't you think?
Yeah, because you're betting a lot on – Deion's personality and his charisma and his style to bring in the top talent because they want to play for him because it's new and it's exciting. The concern comes in the next couple of years if they're not successful or if they're, you know, just going to bowl games every year or they're not competing for playoff spots or something like that. Is his instilled culture that he's working on building right now, what does that look like when they're 0-3 or they're having a bad stretch of games or they're star player got hurt. What is the mentality of this program going to be outside of the Louis Vuitton luggage and all that stuff?
I know. And that's the thing. Like, if you start out the gates, which you could, you got what? TCU, Nebraska, and CSU, your first three games?
Could go 2-1 in that stretch.
There's a chance you go 2-1. There's a chance you go 0-3. I mean, seriously, I know CSU wasn't good, but there's a chance.
It'll be better next year.
I think they're going to be really good. I do. I think CSU, I mean, again, I don't know who's going to be starting and playing next year on that offensive line and stuff, but, you know, Kevin will tell us in a minute if any of those guys will translate into as soon as next season.
It tends to lead towards a second year improvement.
Yeah, it does. In fact, I think I read somewhere, maybe Phil Steele put it out there, that CSU like might be one of the most improved football teams in all of college football. So, I mean, there's a chance. Tell you what, Deion Sanders and company lose to the Rams. Oof, that's going to be tough. But there's also the chance that this all works, that Deion Sanders actually is a really good coach. You know, I watched the video of him sitting down with his coaching staff. He's talking to them like they're players, not in a disrespectful way. But he's like, we are going to win next year. Not in 2 years, next year. We are looking to win right now. Does that, you understand what I'm saying? And they kind of went, yeah, yeah. He goes, no, do you understand what I'm saying? And they're like, yeah, hell yeah. Like, he is going all in. He is putting chips in the center of the table, all in, ready to go. And so there lies pressure, because what other coach has ever done that? Can you imagine even Nick Saban doing that? Like, nobody does this. Nobody says we are going to win next year. They might think that, whatever, they might talk about being competitive, but I don't think Jay Norvell stood at that podium and said, next year we are going to be the top team in the conference. We will be the best team in college football next year. We will be the best team in the Mountain West Conference next year. Nobody does it. It's just absolutely new territory, uncharted territory. Brady, this from Eastside Chris. Brady, my Christmas wish is for Deion Sanders to spend one day with Mark Johnson out on the ranch. Do you think that'll happen?
Dude, I think it could.
That would be awesome.
If we can get a video of Mark and Prime just riding on horses in like the snowy mountains.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a cool little video.
Do you follow Mark on social stuff? Like Twitter and Facebook?
I probably should.
Oh, you need to.
But I've seen some of his stuff on there.
Oh, he'll post stuff of his ranch. Of his air, that his house and cabin and all that stuff. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. When it snows and stuff, it just looks like a place that you could just live. It's amazing. 33 minutes after the hour, we're going to connect with the Fort Collins, Coloradoan Kevin Lytle. How did the Rams fare yesterday? What did he think of the new additions to Colorado State? We'll talk about that next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be
38 minutes after 11 o'clock. That's a good change of pace today. Normally, we play some pretty hard rock music as our rejoin stuff, but Christmas music will work today. That'll work. Kevin Lytle joining us. Are you tired of the Christmas music yet, Kevin, my man?
No, I think I've absorbed at a good pace so far, so I'm doing all right.
That's the key. You can't go all in, like, you know.
You can't go too early, yeah. That's the big thing to me. If I start getting inundated in, you know, at the end of October, I'm hurting by now.
See, that's my problem in the past. I would just go all in on the Christmas music, like before Thanksgiving, and then halfway through December, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of ready to move on from this. But I'm with you. I slowed down this year, paced myself, and I'm still loving it. I'm still very much enjoying the festive portion of the season.
Christmas music and beverage drinking. It's all about pacing.
Oh, and see, I'm off. I'm not coming in tomorrow. I'm off till next week. So we're getting some kind of Christmas flavor, Christmas spirit type beer tonight. So we're going to make that happen. Kevin, all right, let's talk CSU basketball first, because I do want to get your thoughts on signing day, because I don't know. I need you to tell me if this is good. I never know if it's good. But last night, of course, Colorado State dropped it to USC. Had moments in that game, especially in the first half. I think they took the lead late in the first half, but just couldn't do it. And that game felt a lot like the Buffs game in the sense where USC just kind of controlled the second half. Not a blowout, but just controlled the second half.
Yeah, and I think the most frustrating thing, if you're a CSU fan, that was a very winnable game. I mean, USC, I'm not trying to denigrate them at all. You know, they're a solid team. They just had a huge win against Auburn. I think they're, you know, probably an NCAA tournament team, at least borderline. But that game was very winnable. If CSU just shoots decent from three, the Rams win it. And they were far from decent. And it was good looks, too. USC, their defense was interesting. They're kind of just sagging off, clogging the paint. And so CSU had a lot of open looks. Nico Medved, you know, he said the same to me after the game. He said, I liked our looks. We just could not hit anything. And, you know, one of the big problems is they're thin right now. You know, Jalen Lake is out. Kavi Jackson's out. So they don't have any depth, really. And so when Stevens and Tanjay have off-shooting nights and those two combined for 0 for 11, they just can't really make up. 0 for 11 from 3, I should say. They just couldn't really make up for it. So I think the biggest frustration is that was very winnable, and it would have been a very nice resume piece and really would have been a huge week heading into Mountain West play for CSU. Instead, you know, it's still moderately successful. You know, that St. Mary's win is still huge, but it kind of feels like an opportunity miss last night.
It does. And, you know, 8-5 is nothing to sneeze at in your non-conference schedule. But, you know, coming off of being a March Madness team last year, you really wanted to get your work done in this portion of the season, in that non-conference portion. Because now, Kevin, I mean, the only way in is to win the conference tournament, right, for CSU. Even if they won out in all of their Mountain West games, I mean, they're going to have to win that tournament.
I think there is a narrow path to an at-large bid. You know, I think if they were to finish first or second, you know, in league play, and, you know, depending on who your wins are and everything, but I think that could maybe get them in with the right combo of wins, but it's a very narrow path. I mean, it's you know, we're not talking 1% or anything, but we're probably down to like a 10% path that you can follow to get there. So it's going to be really tricky. But the good thing is, good or bad, I guess, depending on if you're a half full or half empty type person, is the Mountain West is really, really good. So obviously that means most of your games are going to be really hard, but it also means lots of really good opportunities. I mean, there are 7 teams in the top 80, I think it is, of net, which means almost every night you're playing a quad one or a quad two game.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, signing day is always, it's fun, it's exciting, but I mean, less than the draft even. I just view it as their names. You know, their names. I look at the stars. I look at position of need. And I look where they're from. You know, are they in-state kids? Whatever. Those are the three things I look at. Other than that, I couldn't tell you anything. That's why we have you on, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it's a lot of guesswork. And, you know, obviously coaches have much more educated opinions than us or knowledge than us. But even that, I mean, how many misses and surprise hits do you see? So you always take it with a grain of salt. I'm not trying to dig on any fans here, but I always chuckle when you see fans say, oh, this kid's going to be incredible because they watched a 2-minute highlight tape of them. It's like, well, guess what? You know, most highlight tapes look good. That's kind of the idea of them. So, you know, always take things with a grain of salt. On paper, everything about this class looks pretty good. I mean, first off, it's massive. 34 signings, and there's more to go. There's probably going to be at least 5 more, you know, if not even more. So by the time, you know, August rolls around, almost half of CSU's scholarship roster will be from this class, which is crazy, which really highlights how important it is. You have to get this right. And, you know, like I say, on paper, it looks like they got a good class, but we're not going to know for a little while. But they really need it to be right. The big thing that stands out to me is just size across the board. You have big receivers, which Jay Norvell has promised. You have huge O-linemen. The O-linemen they've signed average 6'5", 300. Your D-linemen are really big. You know, the kid from Cherry Creek is like 6'5", 240. He basically has like an NFL body already, you know, just to develop. So across the board, Jay Norvell and his staff clearly focused on big, long, athletic players. And like he said yesterday, it's a big man's game. Big men beat up on little men in this game, and we need more big men.
So of those guys that you're looking at, I've got the list in front of me too, Kevin. Who stands out? Because the main one I'm looking at, the offensive line, are there guys, obviously there's going to be some transfers too, that stick out to you where you go, yeah, they're going to be starting next year or they're going to be playing a lot next year? Because we know that offensive line, in order for Fort Air Raid to work, they have to get better there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple. Jervis, the kid from Monmouth that's been, you know, starting in college for a couple of years, I think that's probably a pretty good bet to be playing pretty quickly or immediately. You know, Moss, a kid coming up from the lower levels, he might have a chance. I know I've heard that the staff really loves one of these freshmen. Well, and obviously I love them all, but thinks one of them is pretty, you know, college ready. I'm not sure who, so we'll see there. But definitely you're going to see some of those guys on the field, and like you said, they'll probably add one or two more offensive linemen between now and next season. So those are a couple guys definitely to keep an eye on, and definitely a position group that, as we've kind of talked about ad nauseum, needs to be much better.
Yeah, well, and again, like you said, you just don't know until a year or two down the road for a lot of these guys going forward. What did you think of, I mean, obviously you got a lot of names, so it's yep. Huge. Like you said, 34, so odds are a good chunk of those guys are going to work out. You have Jay Norvell's approach, and then we look down south in Boulder, and we're all comparing. That's what we're doing. We're looking at how these coaches are doing things, how even UNC with Ed Lamb's doing things, and then you look down at Deion Sanders. I don't know, Kevin, the tortoise and the hare, that's what keeps going through my mind is, yeah. Deion Sanders is the hare running around. He's so fast, but maybe he's paying attention to too much of that stuff. You have Jay Norvell and CSU just quietly trying to rebuild this program.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair comparison as far as how they're doing it, because obviously Deion Sanders signed a bunch of transfers. They're going to be very transfer heavy, and you know, CSU was last year in year one as well. So in a lot of ways, it does make sense year one, because you can't just bring in, you know, you can't have a 60% freshman roster and expect to win, as we kind of saw with CSU last year. But bring in a bunch of transfers right away. Obviously, a lot of them are guys he has been working with, so in a way, he's, you know, kind of been developing them, just at a different program. But yeah, definitely different approaches. And they're, you know, we keep getting the question of how much effect is, you know, the prime effect going to alter CSU's plans. I still think it's very, very minimal. I mean, maybe here and there there's a, you know, like a Colorado kid that, you know, previous CSU staffs or CU staffs, I should say, would have, you know, tried to lure that CSU couldn't have got, that maybe CSU can now. But overall, I really don't think there's crossover. It's just very fascinating watching, like you say, the different styles on how they're doing it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Deion Sanders, I think we've all said it. None of us have seen anything quite like this before, so who knows how this is going to work out. Kevin, a few Colorado kids on the list for CSU here. Is that a priority in this day and age, is to really focus in-state, or is it just, hey, if there's a good enough player, we'll go for it? What are your thoughts there?
I think kind of every year it becomes less so,
yeah.
For a lot of reasons. One, just life. I mean, it's easier to move and feel comfortable, you know, with FaceTime and everything. And Jay Norvell has talked about, you know, he has guys that right after practice will be FaceTiming mom, you know, and it helps, you know, they feel like they're at home and, you know, feel comfortable. So I think it's made it easier for guys to move cross country. Obviously, everything's, you know, every game you can stream or watch on TV. So your parents, no matter where you're playing, can watch you. So I think that minimizes it a bit. And then, you know, to be very frank, Colorado just doesn't have the depth of talent of other states. There are some good players here, don't get me wrong. And, you know, I think CSU signed a few of them. But, you know, I looked at one point, Colorado had 19 players that were three or four stars, zero, five stars. I looked at California, there were 260 that were three-star wow. better. So part of it's just volume. I mean, you know, Jay Norvell said yesterday, he goes, if you want to catch fish, you go fishing where the fish are. and that's why you go California and Texas. And obviously CSU's not alone in hunting those states. So yeah, I think there are Colorado kids to get, but I'm much more interested in getting the right three or whatever rather than, you know, a program signing 10 just to say they have a bunch of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. Kevin Lytle, my friend. Hey, no Rams Weekly for us tonight, so we'll jump back into that next week. I'm out next week, but you and Chris perhaps jumping into Rams Weekly next Thursday. Before I let you go, serious question time. Best Christmas movie of all time?
Oh, boy.
It's a thinker.
Yeah. Like a Christmas Vacation, I'm always good with.
Yeah, that's where Angel's going over there too. So you can't go wrong with that one, no doubt about it. All right, Kevin. Hey, dude, we appreciate you so much, all that you do for the Fort Collins, Colorado, and for Colorado State, for us here at KFKA. So we just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll catch up with you soon, my man.
Likewise, everyone there. Appreciate you guys.
All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and yeah, the in-state stuff. Listen, I think it's important for UNC. I think it's important for the University of Northern Colorado because you're not winning. So you need to get people in the stands. How do you get people in the stands? Well, if I'm recruiting a kid from Greeley West or Fort Collins, well, their parents are going to come and their friends are going to come. You know, alumni are going to come to that game. So I think it's important for UNC. For CSU, a couple. That's fine. They get a couple. But it doesn't need to be a priority. It's about winning. For CSU, it's about winning. For CU, it's about winning. For UNC, it's about building a culture. It's about growing your fan base. And I do think it's important for them to sign local talent. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. We're going to wrap up this first hour of the show. Tad Boyle, he did it. He is now the winningest coach in CU basketball history. Just adding more and more to his legend. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You know what another kind of fun question would be, Angel? Like, who's your favorite Christmas character? Like, is it Santa Claus? Is it Frosty? Is it Rudolph? Think about that one, too. Like, I guess it can be Will Ferrell's elf. It could be an elf. What's your favorite Christmas character? I'm a Rudolph guy. So Rudolph, definitely. That's my go-to every time.
Yeah, there's a couple. I just looked up a quick list. Ernest, of course. He's just a goofball there. The Grinch.
My mom's a big Grinch person, yeah.
Cousin Eddie,
Scrooge.
Of course.
Yeah, Cousin Eddie is now a Christmas character.
Heat Miser. From I think it's from Santa Claus Comes to Town.
Okay. All right. Well,
but it's with him and Jack Frost. They do their little thing.
All right. Who's your favorite Christmas character? What's your favorite Christmas movie? Let's get into the spirit here. We got 2 hours. Let's rock and roll. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll take a quick break. Lunch Rush coming up next.